bet you're going fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
All right, you know what that means. It's time for a fishing report. I've got Leif Sieverig in here. And Leif, I know even though you're not on the river, you're still a happy fisherman. And but I need to be clued in a little bit about lakes, what lakes are, because not everything's still open, right?
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's that time of the year. We've gone from lowland lakes open to lowland lakes closed, unless they're a year-round lake, which, like we were talking here earlier, it's almost easier just to go ahead and list the ones, at least in the Medhow, that are not going to be open, because the list of open lakes is longer, so okay. We're kind of lucky that way.
Okay, so we have a good choice.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the only lakes that you're not going to be able to go fishing right now are Paragon, Little Twin, and Big Twin. Paragon, Little Twin, and Big Twin, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I've gotten some great reports from Campbell. I myself and my trusty dog Blue went up and fished Frost again. Just had to follow it up after that time with my Yearman friends. And
so how'd that go?
Oh, just outstanding. Good. You know, we kind of took it easy, which is nice when you're just fishing for yourself and just kind of kicking around. And I was just kind of muttering to myself, probably a couple words I can't explain on the air, that, you know, I was like, well, fishing is kind of... And then all of a sudden, right at that point, there was this nice tug on the line, and I was into the first of what would be mini fish, just kind of... had to switch gears, I guess, and chill out even more and just kind of not care, because I was like, well, the fishing's kind of not so good, but I don't really care. I was looking around, and it was beautiful.
Well, just out of curiosity, how long had you been fishing before you started grumping?
Oh, at least an hour.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, I wasn't throwing a full-on tantrum or anything. No. I was just a little nonplussed.
I'm just curious what it would take to sort of get you that way.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty easy. You know, I don't have huge expectations sometimes. I'm just going up there to maybe have a beer with my dog and look at the beautiful scenery and chill out and have a fish or two as a bonus. But, yeah, definitely hope to expect to at least get one or two. And, yeah, like I say, just kind of took switching gears. That lake has been different, you know. Since I was a kid, I haven't seen it that size, and I knew it used to be that size because you could see the old water levels there on the trees and the banks. And just haven't had the opportunity to fish some parts of this lake like I've been. And so it's almost like being to a lake for the first time, fishing this thing in some of these spots. I've just been having a lot of fun with it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we may be seeing some of these things in the future, you know, with, you know, less snowpack, more precip, liquid precip.
Yeah.
We may see some different
things. We have those lakes forming in Elbow Coulee, not going away, getting bigger every year. And, you know, a lot of those lakes in at least that region of the valley are getting bigger, in some cases coming back. I kind of can't wait to see what Dead Horse does. Maybe we can look at trying to... get some fish into that one in the next few years. I know I talked to Bob Jadiff about it back in the day when he was working, but at the time I just didn't think it was worth it. And now I think I need to go out and take another look.
That'll be interesting to watch.
I did want to mention with Frost, I mean, this is all a personal preference thing. It is a lake where, you know, you can keep five fish, you can fish with bait, barbed hooks, all that crazy stuff. But I personally like to catch and release those fish. They're not going to be the best eating fish. But they might be one of the best pictures you can get. So, you know, like I say, it's up to you. But fish do get bigger the longer you leave them in the water.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, I mean, you're a guy who fishes a lot. But the thing to remember in my book, the biggest thing is, how are they going to taste?
Exactly.
And a lot of times it's just like, let them be.
Yeah. You know, on the flip side there, boy, I went out that while back with my buddy Kane. He's doing the heavy hitter guide service. So he's kind of more... specializing on like the trolling or using hardware,
big motor boat.
Went out there and caught a bunch of kokanee with the boys on Patterson, and man, I smoked those up and they were so good. Now that is a fish that I would definitely eat and definitely take my limit of. So it's not like I'm an ardent catch and release guy.
I know,
right fish,
mean.
Right time.
A number of years ago, I happened to be in Montana during this there is like a tradition. I can't remember the name of the lake, huge, but there's people all over there basically just harvesting kokanee.
Yeah.
A lot of them smoking them right there in the campground.
Oh, man, if they're smart,
Yeah, and...
Right on the spot.
And I realized I had just stumbled into this. I didn't go there for that because I didn't know, but I mean, it was like, okay, we're putting up meat, you know?
You know, the Kokanee crew, it's like a whole different, you know, subculture of fishing. You might not even notice it because you're not out there doing their thing, but they have, usually they got some sweet boats. It's a nice truck and camper. They're going to be comfortable where they're at. Mm-hmm. Odds are the weather might be kind of crappy, but they're going to be totally ready to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of the people that taught me about Kokanee, you know, they're bleeding them right there in the water, in the boat as they're going along. They're getting them prepared and doing something with them right away at the shore. And they say it's crucial. And I can see how it would be too. It's kind of a meat that can be really good in texture if it's kept in that and processed in that form, but could also go soft if you didn't do something right away.
Well, yeah, you know, you're right. It was fun being in the campground because these guys were pros. I mean, they were ready to be away from home, but not miss too
much. Not their first rodeo. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it was very cool. But, you know, I mean, Montana's a big state. Montana always reminds me of a great big expanded Mid-Owl Valley. You know, everything's further
out. I could dig that.
Yeah, it was very nice, and I liked it, liked the people.
Except I noticed they wear flannel, and they really laugh at our puffy coats, they call them. They were making fun of us for the puffy jackets last time I was hanging out with a bunch of Montanans.
Yeah, you would have to sort of...
I was like, hey, but I feel like I'm walking around in my sleeping bag. I don't care. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, my wife would like that. Natural fiber people.
There you go. Yeah, I can dig that too. Yeah, so, you know, I'm, like we were talking about earlier, kind of getting creative with this season. Yeah. We don't have a steelhead season to look forward to, so I'm tapping into just some of these resources that are just oh so valuable too that we always just kind of take for granted. So still been doing a lot of my... research on the kettle, kind of firming up my trip on that one. Be heading over there with my my buddy Bob, and I are kind of taking it upon ourselves to make sure we don't just gain a bunch of beer weight this winter sitting around doing nothing or anything. And
good.
So we're heading out there. Be heading down to Crab Creek probably too. You know, these are some things that I could definitely throw out there to other people if they need to see some moving water.
So how far away is Crab Creek?
Well, you can get to part of it there just by going down by Ephrata. So, you know, from here, it's about 3.5 hours from here. And then Kettle's going to be about 2.5 hours from here in the valley. So it just depends on both of those, you know, Crab Creek, like we were talking there, is the longest running spring creek of its kind in America. In the lower U.S., as far as I know. Uh-huh. And so... it's got a lot of different sections, some sections fishier than others. Some sections are public, but there's a lot of private too. So, and then in the lower sections, it kind of has suffered from overgrazing and runoff and just kind of chemicals from some of the farms. So it's kind of hit and miss, although I have heard that there's some big fish in the lower reaches too. It's just kind of, you know, like I say, not as many in there.
Okay, well.
And, you know, that kettle's super cool. Snakes in and out of America and Canada. And kind of can't make up its mind what to do. The lower sections have bass and I think even carp and walleye slows down. Upper sections run just like the Methow, though, and look beautiful up above Barstow. So that's kind of where I'm going to be heading next there.
Okay. Hey, I got a question for you. So I played a song today after the fishing report.
I was listening.
Okay, yep. So alligator gar. Is alligator gar related to the muskie family?
Oh, gosh. Here again, I'm going to have... I did not run upon them at all in my... You know, I think they are much older than almost everything, so they're probably related to everything. So I'll get back to you on the gar. And quite honestly, it's been a busy week, so I didn't even follow up on my homework with the muskies.
But no, that's good.
Maybe we'll do a fish geek, you know.
Yeah. Well, they have that same
Middle America basin fish thing here soon.
Yeah. Well, they're fish that, you know, we don't see. I mean, I don't know.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
Texas, Georgia, Florida, they're kind of all down in that area there. So the lower part of the Mississippi basin. So, you know, they could kind of be... Great. Yeah, all around and up in there. So I'll check some of that out, and we'll get the scoop on the gars next. We're kind of all getting a fascination for scary fish now.
Huh? I know
a good thing.
I mean, I watch
river
those,
monsters.
I watch those things. Yeah, river monsters catching monsters.
Jeremy Wade.
Yeah,
he's got teeth almost as bad as those fish, eh?
There's some big creatures out there in the world.
Oh man, if somebody wanted to pay me, anybody listening. Wants to pay me to do a show like that, I'm totally open. You know,
maybe we should do a GoFundIt thing and send you to the Mekong Delta or something.
Yeah, wherever. I'm a little scared of jungle stuff, but as long as keep those bugs out of me, then I'll be all right with that. Yeah, so, you know, we'll keep everybody abreast on what's going on here, and if you all have any questions on just what you can do, there's always something to do here in the Medhow Valley, you know, as far as fishing. Don't give up, even all the way through the winter. So if you need to stay in touch, just check us out at flyfishersproshop.com. Give me an email at medhowfishingadventures@gmail.com or shoot me a ring at 509-429-7298. Remember, water is sacred, so are all y'all, so take care of each other and the source. Get that fish right on. Catfish on the bottom, then my golly took him over to mama.